Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.
Oh, thanks, Scarecrow. Rita Steele, how's it going?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I saw you on Friday night at a friend's birthday barbecue. Nice and outdoor and socially distanced.
Nice. Yeah, it was nice to see you and be able to talk in person and feel normal.
It is, we're in the midst of the silly season at the moment, so it's great to take a break from that and have a beer and go to a barbecue. But I mean, lots of people obviously thinking about Christmas at this time of the year, Rita, and we're talking Christmas.
Yeah. So I mean, we've done this a couple of times before, but it's just a really good reminder to try and think outside the square and think about the planet a little bit while you're doing your Christmas shopping. And I thought I'd run through a few ideas and maybe that will inspire some people to avoid, some plastic and some gifts people don't need or really want. I know the audience, I'm sure, is there lots of people without kids, but I know that my Christmases have become particularly bad for the environment since having kids. I do my best to avoid anything that is super trashy, but for some reason kids are just interested in anything bright and plastic.
Trash magnets.
Frustrating, yeah. So even things like bikes, trying to buy them second hand and, or if they're now's a good time to be selling a second hand bike. All the second hand bikes have jumped up in price. it's quite crazy. The second hand market's gone crazy. But it is for those of you that are parents or buying for kids, it is particularly hard because it seems to be a small market of environmentally friendly products out there. But there is a few things that I'll rattle off and see if any of them kind of interest anyone. Hopefully there'll be a few people out there that go, oh, that's kind of an idea.
Do you think a kid would enjoy getting a plant for Christmas? I was just trying to think of plants that children might like. Maybe a Venus flytrap, perhaps?
Yeah, I was just about to say that. So my son has a Venus flytrap and he absolutely loves it. Although they don't catch as many flies as I think he would have hoped. They do seem to go, they get the moths, and I think he gets a bit sad about that. But yes, absolutely. Any of those sorts of kind of novelty plants, I guess. There's a couple of plants out there that flower, regularly, and they can be a bit of fun too. I think they're petunias. I think they are the ones that that kind of flower all year round. You could do something like that for kids. Plants, are definitely of interest if you get the right one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the other one that's and for kids is sponsoring or adopting an animal. I think that kind of goes down quite well for those kids that are super. If they've got a favourite animal, because most kids do, a penguin or a monkey or a sloth or something like that, and even adults. I find that there's, a lot of adults do have a favourite sort of animal, and you can actually give them something because you can print out pictures of it and frame the little picture or whatever of the animal that they've adopted. And they tend to come with names and little stories, so you could print those out for them, and it feels like they're getting something as such, which is quite nice as well. So tons of those out there. You just find the animal you want and then go Googling it. Just do a little bit of Googling. There are some projects that are better than others, so it's always good to just have a look at the reviews and have a quick read of the website. Kakapo is another really awesome one. There's a Adopt a Kakapo, and that actually comes with a little soft toy, so not completely environmentally friendly, but is a really nice thing for a kid to do.
Can you still buy a star or get a star named after you?
Yeah, you can still do that, but a bit of a novelty. But again, for people that are right into astronomy or something like that, that's also another good one. Is for those that are a bit, as much as I love science, my mum is a hippie and brought me up with astrology, so I always, I don't know how much I believe it, but I love to believe it, if that makes sense. Getting someone's chart done is also quite a cool idea for those sorts of people. Carbon offsetting, we've talked about that lots before, or buying trees for people can be really nice, in terms of
nice for Hurtikawa for the backyard.
Yeah. So a physical tree, or you can go to somewhere like ECOS and offset their carbon for them for the year, so that they, ECOS specialise in native planting that's permanent. So, you know, if you can work it out and you know, write them a cute little letter that's like, I've worked out that you're going to use this much carbon in the year and the next year, and this is a gift of, you know, X amount of trees that will offset that for you. So something like that, you know, with a nice little letter.
Surely plants for the garden. I know it's tough. Children probably don't give a rat's about getting a plant unless you got them like a swamp plant.
Yeah, things like that, like those novelty plants, I think work quite well.
Yeah. What would be some good trees to get someone for Christmas?
For realistically, like adults,
yeah, for an adult, if you're going to buy someone
a
tree.
I think my favourite is Corphi, because they can grow in pots. You can get dwarf kind of varieties that really only grow to sort of 6 feet max. And they can grow a pot, so they can move around until somebody buys a house and decides to plant it permanently, which is quite nice. And they attract both kereru and tui.
Sorry, Rita, we've just had a text in saying, weed tree. Yep.
Yeah, but they don't last that long.
They're seasonal, aren't they? Yeah. Yep.
Also an option, probably pick your audience there.
Yeah, yep.
Corphi is a really good one because they are beautiful and the leaves are really delicate and they flower that gorgeous yellow flower, and like I say, attract both Corphi and tui and kereru, and at quite a small size. Like we had ours about 4 foot and we were seeing birds on it, which is really awesome. So they're probably my number one easy plant.
It is a great tree. We hired a house for a friend's birthday a couple of years ago and there was a big Corphi tree in the backyard, and I think we counted at one point 17 tui sitting in it. So it was like it was a hot spot.
Yeah, it is absolutely. They will flock from miles around. And like I say, if somebody owns a house, you could get them a bigger variety. But if they're renting or flatting or whatever, you could get them one that's a dwarf variety. There's actually like tons of different varieties of Corphi. So you can kind of like pick what they are. Just ring a couple of garden centres and find out if they've got them in stock. And just say, you know, I want it for a pot, so, you know, it needs to be a dwarf variety or whatever. To me, they're just number one. And I guess same with your pahutukawa. You can get what's called a Māori princess, and they're a sort of a hybrid version. They're pahutukawas, but they have a single trunk, which is not really... so they use them a lot in, like, tree amenity, like street amenities. Because of that single trunk, they tend to kind of grow upwards as opposed to, you know, the wrangling, beautiful ones that we see. But they're really good for things like pots. And we had one as a Christmas tree every year in a pot, and we just put it out on our deck afterwards. And I think it lasted about 6 years in a pot.
That's
so, you know, that could be really nice. And when they flower at Christmas time, it's just so beautiful. Nikaus are also really awesome. Again, you know, they can live in a pot for a few years before being planted, and they just look fantastic. And any, you know, when someone does finally buy a house or move somewhere permanently, they can be planted and look really gorgeous pretty quickly too.
At our house, yeah. Frida, we're doing that thing where we feel a bit bad buying a pine which has been recently cut down. We're going to invest in a Christmas tree. You think we get a small native in a pot? Or do you think we buy a plastic one from China?
Oh, definitely a pahutukawa. Like, you'll get quite a few years out of it before you need to plant it somewhere. Mm-hmm. And they tend to just kind of get a bit stunted. Like, they just won't grow too quickly in a pot. So, that, you know, and then just put it out on the deck or whatever afterwards. And the way that they grow, you can actually hang a few things on them as well, which is quite cool. For a long time, I used a Nikau, and they're not that great because you've only got like 5 branches to choose from, so you're run out of space to put things. I would definitely say a pahutukawa because you get those beautiful flowers too. So,
okay, now what else? Are there any other sustainable Christmas gifts?
Yeah, so experiences are always a really good one. Like maybe the walks, great walks, book them somewhere that they want to go, like that. Massages, facials. I mean, experiences are really easy and nice to give away. And annual passes and subscriptions, so the zoo or Kelly Tarleton's or, you know, a book kind of...
Motets?
I've just forgotten the name of the book subscription service, but, you know, that, even like a Disney or Netflix or whatever, you know, those sorts of things, don't forget about those, especially for families. Like, you get a year pass for a family and they'd be very happy with you. We've talked about adopting an animal or sponsoring an animal, but you could also do charities out there. So anything from, you know, World Vision, vaccinations. There's a program called COVAX where UNICEF are working with WHO to give vaccines to countries that can't afford them. Really good for those people that are already pretty, you know, pretty ethically minded. Things like Pet Refuge, Refuge and City Mission, no surprises there. But in terms of environmental charities, Environmental Defence Society, like if there was a number one place that needs our money, it's the Environmental Defence Society. And what they are is a collective of lawyers who dedicate their time to defending, you know, environmental atrocities in New Zealand.
Yep.
Yeah, so things like when the Mackenzie Basin or when they were doing the mining and the Bathurst mine, and they, you know, they fought against that and won. And those cases, I mean, you know, they do the work as pro bono or pretty inexpensively, but they still have to pay like research assistants or whatever, you know, people that are coming out of law school to do some groundwork for them. And, you know, you do want to pay those people. They're already on the bones of their asses. So Environmental Defence Society, I know a couple of the lawyers there, and they're just such amazing people. You know, they could be going off earning hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, and instead they're living on 40-50 grand a year defending the environment. So I would huge shout out to them. A great place to donate money. And Forest and Bird as well, so they're again on the ground doing a lot of work for New Zealand and defending our forests. So, you know, those two are, if you're going to, you know, give a charity gift, those two would be my pick. Yeah, and then, you know, the other thing I was going to say is if you do have to buy something like physical, just kind of research the site a bit. There's a good one, Eco Shack. There's a whole bunch out there that kind of at least have low packaging, low plastics. They try and do their best to ensure that everything comes from ethically sourced places. Trade Aid, you know, even Scarecrow, right? Like, you know, giving the gift of, you know, something from those sorts of stores that their money is
local
supporting
produce.
The right stuff. And local produce and local artisans and that kind of thing is always really awesome. So yeah, I mean, it's just a shout out. Look, it's pretty impossible to do Christmas in this day and age without buying a single piece of plastic or having any footprint at all. But I guess it's one of those things, just think about when you're buying, like, is there an option for you to buy a gift that's slightly less harmful for the planet? And if so, think, try and think outside the square and get them something.
Yeah, totally. Someone's also
nicer.
Someone's given a shout out to Sustainable Coastlines. Of course,
yeah,
a good time
absolutely.
Of year. Everyone's going to be going to the beach.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. They do fantastic work.
I do want to say, don't forget to muck in. You know, you can get involved with these organisations and pick up some rubbish or go out and trap some animals and, you know, trap possums and all that sort of stuff.
I thought it wouldn't hurt for us to do a little spiel on what you could be doing out and about in
maybe,
summer. So maybe that's something we
next
cover.
Next week. That'd be a good
absolutely.
One, I reckon.
Because there's so much that you can get out and do. And I've heard a few people recently say that they're bored, which, you know, with two kids, I'm not there, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's so many people that, you know, would love your help. So let's cover that next week.
Yeah, sweet. Last summer I did walk a trap line with someone. It was quite interesting to go and do. It was good fun outing.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, cool. Whereabouts was it?
Up in the Hokianga. So,
fantastic.
Yeah,
fantastic.
It was good. All right, Rita, we'll check in with you next week and maybe we'll cover that off. All right,
sounds
cheers,
good.
Mate.
Have a good week.
Bye.
Sustaining Alive on 95BFM. Thanks to Scarecrow, your local kitchen, florist and grocer. Go to scarecrow.co.nz.